We get it underway, though, by welcoming back to the program a great friend of the show, former sportscaster these days. Another side of his talents coming out tremendously with his beautiful nature photography. And he's the author of a brand new book called Zen and the Art of Moose Photography. Jerry Montour joins us on Downtown. Hello, Jerry.
My multimedia brother from another mother. How you doing?
I am fabulous. How are you today?
Well, I couldn't be better, although I got to tell you, this is weird for me, what we're about to do. This is very, very strange. So I'm going to let you go and ask the first question, but understand I'm a rookie when it comes to this, what we're about to talk about.
Well, I think you'll handle it reasonably well. Confidence is high here. First of all, and you answered the question right away in the introduction to the book, I wondered, had you read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? And, well, of course you did.
Of course I did. And to be honest with you, it took me a long time to come up with a title for this book. But I'm secretly rich. I'm secretly hoping that the people who behind Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance will sue me for using this title. Because if Donald Trump has taught me anything, it's a world of lawsuits and nothing else.
Exactly. And look, all publicity is good publicity, right?
There you go. So, yeah, I did read it back in the 70s when I was a kid, and it resonated with me. Did you read it?
I sure did. Yeah, well, we all did in the 70s, right?
Yeah, we did. I assumed so. If I read something, I assume everybody else did, too. but, you know, there's this one of the tacks in the books is the protagonist is torn between a world of he's being inundated with electronics and it's a world that he doesn't really accept and disdains, and that is the same with me to a certain extent, except when gizmos work for me, then I love them. When they don't, I hate them. You know what I mean? And it's the same with photography, too. If these cameras work for me, I mean, I can't tell you how they work, but if they work for me, then I love them.
Well, the book is absolutely beautiful. The pictures are amazing, but I also enjoy the story behind the photos that you tell. But safe to say, this is not your typical nature photography book.
No, it really isn't. So if you're a moose hunter, or a Trump lover, or if you do not like a saucy language, then this is probably not the book for you. But because it's told in my voice, and I want everybody to know that this is my opinions, this is my voice, this is my life story, essentially how I went from network TV sportscaster to professional wildlife photographer, and what it means to me to be out in the woods looking for wildlife, and specifically moose. I make the point that I could go out there and sit there for 8 hours and not see a moose, and it's still a good day.
Now, is it safe to say that this book, none of this would be possible were it not for the contributions of Bruce the Corgi?
Yes. Thank God for Bruce the Corgi. May he rest in peace. Mm. So the first moose that I ever photographed, it happened largely because I took my little corgi out for a walk. I was up deep in the woods at my friend's camp up in Caratunk, and which is in the northwest corner of the state. And we're out just after dawn, and I had a primitive camera with me, but I had to take him out for a walk because he had to, you know, do his business. And we were just a couple of hundred yards from this camp, and I heard something rustling in the woods. And lo and behold, it was two bull moose, and they were sparring in the woods, which is not terribly unusual that time of year. It was late September. And that was my first real encounter. So I paired off with the larger bull, and Bruce the Corgi was staring down the smaller bull. And I got shots of all of it. But those two moose essentially changed my life.
And let's also acknowledge the contribution of your parents, who gave you your first camera to, get you out of the house.
Essentially, yeah. They just wanted to make whoopee in inside, and said, here, Jerry, here's a camera. Here's how it works. Now off you go. So they created a monster. And I've been taking photographs ever since I was just a little kid. But it wasn't until I lost my job at NBC and had to do something with my life that I decided that, you know what, I'm gonna turn this what was a hobby into, and I'm not going to call it a profession, but it turned out to be certainly an obsession, and a way to make a few bucks, but also a better way to enjoy nature, Rich.
Yeah, and you offer some nice tips for people if they would like to join you in this pursuit. One of them is the idea that if you want to get a really good picture of a moose, make what you call an oh-so-slight noise.
Yeah, it's very simple, really. If you're out in the woods and you see a moose and he or she is faced in the wrong direction, it's really quite simple. Just do this. Try to follow me now. Do this. And they will turn around, and then you can take their picture. It's not rocket science.
So you don't need to speak moose, then?
No, I mean, certainly that may help in other ways. Like for instance, during the rut, if they're all interested in sex, if you can speak moose, you may have it made. But if you just want to get their attention, just a simple will do.
Nice.
And they'll turn around and they'll look at you and they'll wonder what the hell you are. Generally, they don't run. Sometimes they do, but generally they'll just cock their head and look at you and try to figure out, what the hell you are. But you got plenty of time to take a few shots, man.
We're talking with Jerry Montour. His book is Zen and the Art of Moose Photography. Some people say, oh, they're the best time of day to get a picture of a moose or see moose. It's in the morning. It's in the afternoon. What you say is that you can find moose any time of the day. The trick is to get the best lighting.
True, absolutely true. In the middle of summer, you can find moose from sunup to sundown and beyond, but the issue there, as you mentioned, is in the middle of the day, the light can just be absolutely horrible. So in terms of pure photography, you would much rather have the morning or early morning or late afternoon light to deal with. But you can find moose any time of the day. And that is the absolute truth. I can't tell you how many dozens, maybe hundreds, I've seen at noon. So don't let anybody tell you that it's got to be daybreak or dusk, because that just ain't true.
Now, for you personally, it sounds like Baxter State Park is the mother lode. That's the best place or your favorite place to see moose.
Well, I will tell you this. It used to be. Not so much anymore. I mean, I tell you, you talk to some of the old timers who went to Baxter to photograph moose, like back in the 80s, and they'll tell you that there are ponds inside Baxter State Park where you could walk in and see 6, 8, 10 of them at one time. That's not necessarily the case now. But here's the thing: I do have more spots that I go to now, Rich, that have become my favorites, but I can't tell you where they are. Unless you buy me a cocktail or, I mean, listen, I was in TV for 40 years. I can be bought.
Well, I know. I understand how all that works here. Now, you also go on to explain, Jerry, that moose are not all that cooperative as in being the subject of your photographs.
No, they just don't understand photography, and that's one of the issues with moose. There are plenty of other animals out there that really get it. But moose, I just think they don't care what I do for a living. I truly believe that. So you have to adjust to them. I mean, if a moose is behind a tree, for instance, and you want, say, to get the entire body of the moose in the shot, generally you're going to have to move rather than try to convince the moose to move. So, but like I said before, most moose I've found are not that skittish. If they're standing there browsing in a pond, nibbling away, they'll just stay there for an hour or so, and they don't really give a crap that you're standing there with a camera. And that is the absolute truth. Now, you can spook them, once in a while. If they don't see you coming, they don't hear you coming, which is unusual because they have great hearing. But if they don't know you're there, you can spook them, and then they'll take off. But you're right; they're not cooperative because they don't understand the technology, Rick. Mm.
Probably the first time I saw moose, my grandfather had a camp up at Rockabima Lake, up in northern Maine. I think it's a little bit east of the Ripogenus Dam.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And we were driving in on the camp road, and all of a sudden, moose standing in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And we sat there, and we looked at him, and he looked at us. He munched a little bit for a while, and I said, "What do we do?" And my grandfather said, "We wait for him to get done." And he was in no hurry.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the other thing: an old timer once said, "You know what? You don't know what that moose is going to do because, frankly, the moose doesn't know what he's going to do next." So that's just the way it is. But this is a big week. It's a big week. Thursday, I'm heading up with my moose photography buddies for our annual moose rut photo extravaganza up north in a spot that I will not name. So this is going to be good. And they're saying the foliage up there is going to be spectacular this year. So here we go.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I love the fun moose facts, and I'll share a couple of them here. one, people may not know that moose regrow their antlers every year, and each year they get a little bit bigger.
Yes, it's true. This is true. Absolutely. And let me tell you, I forget exactly what I said regarding that, but cow moose really, really dig that. But as you know, it's not the size of the antlers that matter. It's how you use them.
I also was not aware, this was news to me, in the list of fun moose facts, that moose are capable of producing, I think it's what you call the Flamin response. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes. It's where they taste the air for the pheromones that a cow in heat will give off. So you'll see them, and other animals do this too. Horses do it too, but they'll kind of tilt their heads up, and they reveal their teeth, and they literally taste the air. Some would call it smelling the air, but they open their mouths, and they can taste what's going on around them. And there's a couple of shots of that, the Flemin response in the book. And I've seen that a few times when I was in college, but I don't want to talk about
it. That was interesting too. When you talked about first pursuing the idea of putting your photographs in a gallery, that you weren't sure that was the right thing to do. But the point that you make more than once in the book is that if you do this and do it right, it is indeed art that you're making.
That's right. That's right. It's in the eye of the beholder. You know, a picture of a moose isn't necessarily art to everybody, but I think it is. And if you're an artist, that's all that really matters. You got to please yourself. And the other point I make is that, you know what? So many people come up to me and say, "Hey, look, I got a shot of a sunrise, or here's a moose in a field, you know, and it's on his iPhone, and I'm looking at it going, great." But the question is, what do you do with those pictures? What do you do? You've got a million shots of your schnauzer, Lenny, on your iPhone. what do you do with it? So there's a chapter devoted to actually what the hell do you do with those photographs? You can put them on Facebook or Instagram or any other app you can think of out there. Or you could try to make them work for you. You could try to make money off them. And in my case, I got to the point where I got so many photographs and what I think are fun, funny, humorous stories. I said, you know what? I'm going to try to turn them into a book and see what happens.
Well, and it's a blast to read. By the way, speaking of the pictures, I love the cover photo. A very coy moose on the cover.
Yeah, so I had fun with her. She and I spent about 10 minutes together, and she kept going back and forth between two trees. This is a cow moose, of course, and going back and forth between two trees. It was really a kind of a religious experience for me. So the cover photo is this cow moose peering out from behind a tree, and all you see is the right side of her face and her right ear. And that's reminiscent of a shot that I saw many, many years ago of a wolf, a wild wolf, and all you saw was the right side of his face. He was peeking out at the photographer from behind a tree, and that's the kind of thing that just stuck with me for a million years. And I thought, you know what, this is a chance to duplicate one of my favorite shots of all time, and it worked. And the cow and I had moments together.
Oh, you can see that it comes through.
Yeah,
I have always loved moose. They've always been my favorite animal. They're both majestic, and then at the same time, just beautifully goofy.
Well, they're weird, man. It looks like they've been put together by a Senate subcommittee. they shouldn't be as graceful and as stealthy as they are. And another thing about moose, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, is that they can sneak up on you. I got a buddy who is a tremendous photographer. He's a video guy, and he was out at Baxter State Park one night. One morning, rather, in the summer, and it was a hot morning, and he was waiting for moose and sitting on a big rock out there, and this hiker came up, and he was explaining what he was waiting for, and so my friend, his name is Jim, just kind of nodded off for about literally like 2 minutes. He was asleep, and the hiker goes, "Hey, camera guy, is this moose good enough for you?" A moose had walked up to within like 10 feet of that rock, and that was it. That was in 2 minutes while Jim was sleeping, So they're stealthy, and they shouldn't be. They're gormly looking, and they have no business being as quiet as they are.
Years ago, 20 years or so ago, I was walking my dog on campus at the University of Maine, right over by the Langale Gym, and my dog turned, didn't do anything. He just turned, and I turned, and a moose... big cow moose came walking by, no more than 6 feet away. Just, hello, hello, I'm on my way, thank you. Headed for those woods, goodbye. Never heard it coming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're so stealthy, it's unbelievable. And what did your dog do?
Same thing I did. We looked at each other and said, the hell was that?
That's unbelievable. That's great. That's the one thing I love about these animals. They are the nicest animals in the woods. They're just nice. And a lot of people are afraid of them, especially... during the rut, they think, you're putting your life on the line if you go out and try to photograph moose during the rut. But I tell you, Rich, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've got thousands and thousands of photographs. I have never once, not once, seen an aggressive moose. It's just amazing.
You can get more information about the book and about Jerry's work. Go to montuxgallery@gmail.com. That's montuxgallery.com. Check out the website at montuxgallery.com. Social media.
Yeah, can I just put a plug in for Amazon too?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Amazon is really the place to buy the book at the moment. It's the only place where you can purchase it online. So go to Amazon, and I do this because I feel sorry for Jeff Bezos. And, it's the reason I've got Starlink here at home. I feel bad for Elon Musk. I know he needs the money, and I know Jeff Bezos needs the money too. So Amazon is where you want to buy the book. Look for the book online.
Jerry Montu, a man who knows an impressive dewlap when he sees one. The book is called Zen and the Art of Moose Photography.
Rich, thank you, my man.
Jerry, great talk with you. I love the book. I wish you much success with it, and good luck in your upcoming expedition.
I appreciate it. I'll give you a full report.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Jerry.
Safe. Bye-bye.
Jerry Montu with us on Downtown, talking about the brand new book, Zen and the Art of Moose Photography.